It's a pleasure to have Dr. Ahmed with us today. First of all, Dr. Ahmed, what is glaucoma? And if you could you go over the various forms of glaucoma?
Glaucoma is a collection of diseases with a common pathological abnormality where the connection between the retina and the brain for the visual perception degenerates. So the cells that particularly degenerate within the retina are called retinal ganglion cells, and we use an acronym for this long name for this particular cell, RGC. So when these cells degenerate, the connection between the retina, as I mentioned, and the brain is lost, and that leads to irreversible vision loss. And it is one of the biggest cause of irreversible blindness in the world. By 2020, 76 million people will be suffering from glaucoma, and they will be at the risk of losing their sight irreversibly. In the United States, we have 3 million patients suffering from glaucoma. But the interesting thing and the disturbing thing is that half of those people do not know that they are at risk of losing vision. And there are different kinds of glaucoma. Actually, the most prevalent kind is known as primary open angle glaucoma. And there is no anatomical abnormality with the eyes in this particular kind of glaucoma. The angle between the cornea and iris, where the drainage occurs, is open. And so therefore the loss of vision remains imperceptible unless an ophthalmic examination is carried out. So 90% of the cases of glaucoma falls under primary open angle glaucoma, or also known as POAG. Then we have an angle closure glaucoma, where the angle between the cornea and the iris are closed, and that leads to increase in intraocular pressure, and hence the name angle closure glaucoma. In some instances, people have what is known as exfoliative glaucoma, where the flakes from the outer layer of the lens shed in the vitreous and clogging the drainage system. Then there are neovascular glaucoma, pigmentary glaucoma, and congenital glaucoma. And the last one occurs at birth to 3 years of age due to abnormality in the eye structures. So it is a collection of diseases, but the common feature is that the RGC in the retina degenerates and the connection between the retina and the brain is lost, leading to blindness, irreversible blindness.
Dr. Ahmed, what are stem cells in the first place, and more specifically, what are pluripotent stem cells?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So every tissue in the body at the developmental stage have stem cells. And these stem cells, tissue-specific stem cells, if you will, are the source of all the cells that are found in a particular tissue. So by that definition, retina also have stem cells, and it gives rise to all the seven different kinds of cells that we have in adult retina. So the question is about the pluripotent stem cell. What are those? Well, as the name suggests, pluripotent, these stem cells are really very plastic. They can give rise to all the cell types in our body except the placental cells. So if we have in our hand a pluripotent stem cells, then we actually have the possibility of taking these cells and generating any cell types of any tissues in the body, given if we have information about how these cells developed through a particular mechanism. So in 2006, a landmark discovery made by Shinya Yamanaka, who won Nobel Prize for this particular kind of work, so that any stems, any somatic cells or any adult cells in a particular tissue of the body, be that skin cells, blood cells, if you manipulate them through expression of four different genes, they reprogram themselves. These adult cells will be reprogrammed back to an ancient type of stem cells, which have the pluripotent capacity, and now they can give rise to all the cell types of the body. So these are the pluripotent stem cells. So we have now ability, we can take patient's blood or skin, and we can reprogram those cells to pluripotent stem cells, and then study the patient's cells in a dish, in a disease model.
And talking about that, you in fact have done research regarding using these pluripotent stem cells, and what have you seen regarding the differences in patients that have glaucoma and those that don't have glaucoma?
The way we started on this, I just want to premise this experiment that what actually led us in that particular direction. So as I mentioned early on, that glaucoma is a heterogeneous and a complex disease, and the common feature is that the retinal ganglion cells, or RGC, degenerate. There are many risk factors, and one of the most prominent risk factors for glaucoma is increased intraocular pressure. So the pressure within the eye increases, and it is thought that the biomechanical pressure leads to degeneration of optic nerve. But then we have a cohort of patients who have normal intraocular pressure, and still their RGC degenerates. There are examples that there are patients with high intraocular pressure who have been treated by current drugs and surgical intervention, and their IOP has been brought down. Still, 15% of those patients is still the complexity of the disease progresses. So we argued that could it be possible that since the common feature is degeneration of RGC, is it possible that the defect is intrinsic to the RGC themselves? So they are developmentally compromised, and when the various risk factors are collected, they basically are not able to withstand those and they degenerate. So we wanted to test this hypothesis. We can't do it in patient because glaucoma occurs. It occurs fairly late in life, like 40 years of age and onward. Whereas the retinal ganglion cell or RGC are born during the fetal time. So in order to circumvent this problem, we took blood cells from the patients of primary open-angle glaucoma who had an associated changes in one of the genes called 6-6. And we converted their blood cells into pluripotent stem cells. And within the dish, we took the pluripotent stem cell from the patient and differentiated them into RGCs. We did exactly the same thing from the age-matched healthy donor. And then we have RGC from the patients and RGC from the healthy donor, and we start comparing whether there are some problems with development of RGCs and how they behave, how they look, how they function, and also looking at the genetic makeup. And we found that, lo and behold, the RGC that we made from the patients are significantly different from when we compare them from the RGC from healthy donor.
Thank you for going into such detail about that, Dr. Ahmed. When you look at the results of this research, what potential is there for earlier diagnosis and for new treatments when it comes to glaucoma?
The idea is that the next step that we are working at to understand what are the causes or what are the genes and the pathways are leading to this abnormality that we are seeing in a dish in RGC from patients. So we are trying to identify the genes which may be abnormally expressed, leading to a different kind of signaling pathways. So if we have that identification of these pathways, then we can target these pathways for early diagnosis of the disease or pharmacological intervention so that we can normalize the development of RGC as compared to the healthy RGC that is being developed from the healthy donor. So at this point of time, this is still a preliminary study, but it has given us a pathway through which we can have some information that will lead to early diagnosis and also a pharmacological intervention that may lead to the correction of the disease, at least in a dish, and finally in a clinical setup. In order for this particular study to pan out, we need to do a little bit more study with samples from different patients so that we know that this is reproducible across patients coming from different race and different background, because I want to premise this that this is done in a patient of a particular race. The reason I'm bringing the race in, because if you look at African American race, they are much more susceptible to glaucoma at the rate of 15%. And so it will be very interesting to see how this hypothesis that we have tested in one set of patients pans out in patients from different race. Because race is a risk factor. African American race and Latino race is a risk factor for glaucoma. So even though this study has given us a path, we still have to do some more examination in the same line to come to a very definite conclusion.
Well, what type of work do you do in general at the University of Nebraska Medical Center?
It is divided into three different areas. So far the research is concerned, we are looking at stem cell approaches to blinding diseases. Primarily, we are focusing on glaucoma and also on macular degeneration. Also, we are very much interested in treating this blindness from within. We have identified the stem cells within the retina, and our approach is to activate the regenerative capacity within the retina through these stem cells. That's one of the approaches that we are working at. We are also trying to understand what are the mechanisms that regulates stem cells, and all this information actually allows us to use it for stem cell approaches to treat blindness. The rest of the time, I teach medical students and graduate students, and also I wear the hat as an administrator, looking after the training of young scientists who are the postdoctoral scholars, and also participating in providing ethical guidance to the young scientists.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Dr. Iqbal Ahmed, one spells that first name, Iqbal, one spells that last name, Ahmad. He's a professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. He's also an associate dean and director of postdoctoral education. This is Eye on Vision.